1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because why? Many false prophets are gone out into the world." And this once again goes back to teaching us that if there was no such thing as a prophet in this day and hour, then there would be no reason for this scripture, because it'd be easier to just say, hey, if anybody declares himself a prophet, it's false. Jesus was the last and that's it. It's closed up. So the fact that he tells us we've got to try the spirits is because there are true prophets and there are false prophets in this hour. And let me say this, a lot of times there gets to be confusion in the body because so many still think we operate in the prophecy or in the office of prophet. We think we operate like they did in the Old Testament, but that's not true. We're in the New Testament now. There are no Lone Ranger prophets anymore. Can I say that again? There are no more lone prophets anymore. Okay. You've got to be tied to the body of Christ. If you are a lone prophet declaring you're a lone prophet, I'm calling you to get back into fellowship with the body, come under some leadership. You probably have some gifts of prophecy, but you are not a Lone Ranger prophet. That is out of line with what God's word teaches. You must be setting under some leadership tied to the body of Christ, and that is how the New Testament prophecy works. And we're going to look at that a little deeper in just a minute. So let's take a break and we'll pray.
We don't have any that's come in this morning.
Okay.
However, we want to pray for Neva Pyatt and her family. They just laid her brother Dean Grober down, laid him to rest.
Yep.
And it's that time of year.
It is. Yeah.
Where I'm waiting on the words.
Yeah. I understand.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Where the spirit of suicide.
Yes.
Spirits of depression.
Yes.
You know, the feeling of, and the voices.
Yep.
That, the voices that say, you're not enough.
Yeah.
The voices that say, they'd be better off if you weren't here.
Yes.
The voices that try to convince you to take your own life.
Yes. Yes.
And I do struggle with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Myself.
Yes.
But God. He is so sweet and rich in mercy.
He is.
And his grace goes on forever.
Yes.
You know, he has been my savior through it all.
Yeah.
And this time of year is just hard for me personally, and I know I'm not alone.
Yes, that's right.
And the latest thing he told me to help me, and I got confirmation that it was from him yesterday at church, when someone was bold enough to come up and tell me, the Lord just wants you to know, worship. You're in a season of worship.
Wow.
Just worship. Worship is my way out.
Yes.
Worship is my win.
Yes.
Prayer is my plow to get through. So I'm in the season of worship and pray.
That's good. That's good. That's good.
And I've learned not to entertain those thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned, and it was a learning for me.
Yes.
I had to learn to discern what I was hearing, and I had to learn to discern the feelings that I feel, you know, because some thoughts, when they come in and we entertain them, they get in and then they start stirring up the feelings.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so the Lord has been so sweet to me my whole life.
Yeah.
Because I've struggled with that since I was 12.
Wow. Wow.
Why wasn't I good enough? And he just took me home that day.
Wow.
Why didn't I just get to go to heaven that day?
Yes.
So I know the feeling.
Yes.
I know the struggle, and it is real.
It's real.
So if we can just take this time and speak peace. peace to the minds of God's
yes,
people.
Yes, that's so good. I love that.
And comfort.
Yes, that's good. Okay, that's good.
And encourage them that's yes. not from you.
That's right.
That is the enemy trying to take you out.
That's right.
Because you
yep.
are valuable
that's right.
to the kingdom of God.
100%. And you know, here we are talking about Elijah, and Elijah dealt with that very thing. And he actually ran away from Jezebel. And he went and sat under a tree, mm-hmm. and he asked the Lord to take him. He wanted to die. And I always find it fascinating because he didn't take his own life, but he said, God, would you take my life? You know, he said, I just want to die. I don't want to be here anymore. And, you know, it always was so precious to me because the Lord's, I believe the Lord dealt with him so gently. And the way he dealt with him was, number one, he began to help him see the truth that he was not the only prophet left on the earth, okay? Because he had thought he was the mm-hmm. only one. And yeah. so he'd been discouraged by that. And so he said, you're not the only one, okay? But then I love how he deals with him because he really gets him to open up to him because he's, you know, he gets him to talk to him. When you read that, God actually says, what are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah begins to open up, and God already knew what he was doing there. But I believe what God was doing was getting Elijah to get that out of his heart and mm-hmm. talk to him about it. Because until we talk to God about the lie, how can we get the truth?
Come on.
Okay, we had to go ahead and get it out so that we could get the truth in. And so God was so gentle with him. And I think through that, the Lord's really taught us that one of the things that people need when they're going through that is an encouraging word. Mm-hmm. They need comfort. They just need, often they can't see beyond what they're dealing with right at that moment. And so coming in and encouraging them is number one, what we need to do. Because a lot of times, and I learned this the hard way with our son battling that, but a lot of times we want to go in and we just want to say, you got to stop this. And, you know, and we try to shut it down, but it's like, they can't understand what we're saying at that point. They just need an encouraging word to help them get up out of that. And so, and you may help them in that moment, and you may have to help them 2 hours later, and you may have, you know, it's just encouraging in that hour. But the second thing is to get up and be around people, because that spirit tries to isolate. And so he called him to go back with his people. And so he was off alone under a tree, and God said, get up and go back. And so I think, you know, number one, people need encouragement. Number two, stay connected to people, even though you don't want to, because a lot of times when you're dealing with that, you just want to be left alone. But God said, get up and make yourself be around people in that hour. So yeah, let's pray about it.
And my mama says, unspoken prayer request for my family.
Okay.
I love you, mama.
Oh, she's sweet. Okay. Father, we are so thankful that we can come boldly before your throne. And Father, we do want to just lift up all the people in this season that are going through some heaviness. God, this time of season can be difficult. There can be oppression, depression. There can be that struggle with that spirit of suicide, God. And Father, in this hour, we often just run, and we don't stop to really pay attention to the person in front of us. And so, Father, right now I request that you make us aware of the people around us, that God, we take time to speak life into them, that we give them the word, because I just view the word as like a shot of B12, God. It is the life of God, because Jesus said, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and life. And so every time we release the word of God, we're releasing really a shot of life to that person. And so, God, I thank you that in this hour, you are bringing life to people. And Father, I just pray that you bring it through your children, that you give us words of encouragement to those that we're around in this hour. Father, help us to see, make us spiritually in tune with you, that we can recognize when someone is needing something, and that we don't go on with our agenda, but we stop and be your vessel in that moment. And God, right now, we just pray that you bring comfort to those that are downcast in this hour. God, those that feel heavy, God, we ask you to send messengers to them, messengers of hope, messengers of the good news in this hour. And Father, I just pray that, Father, that you would be with Neva's family as they, you know, laid a loved one to rest, Father. God, I just pray that you be their comfort. You're the comfort for those that are, you're the God of all comfort, and you're the comforter to those that are going through loss of a loved one and those that are dealing with the spirit of suicide. You're the comforter in this hour. And Father, I just want to lift up this sweet request from Monica's mom, Father, you know what's on her heart. And Father, I just pray that you not only hear her prayer, but you answer it. I thank you that you are a God who answers. You're not just a God who listens, but a God who answers. And so, Father, I just pray that you be over all three of these requests. And God, that you not only hear them, but you answer these today. Father, reach out and touch the people in this hour. Show yourself mighty. Show yourself as the God of all comfort. Reveal yourself as the God who is love. And God, I thank you for it, and we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We will be doing a book giveaway this Friday. This Friday. Okay. If you would like the book, it is called, the title of the book is A Story of God and All of Us. It is a novel based on the epic TV ministries, the Bible, Roma Downey and Mark Burnett are the authors. And it's...
That's awesome.
I know, right?
I love it.
I want it.
I know.
Never mind. Trick.
Forget
trick,
it.
Y'all. That was just a mean trick. We have no book to give away. No.
Oh,
I'm just,
man, that's
I'm just
hilarious.
Kidding.
I love it.
If you would like the book, put in the comments, want, or you can email want to Hour of Power 32 in your first name, Hour of Power 32 at Gmail, or you can text like Lisa Taylor did. We love you, Lisa. Thank you for tuning in.
Oh,
Hour of Power. You can text it to 580-485-0837 and just put your name and want, and we'll put you.
That's awesome.
We'll put you on the list for the drawing for this Friday. And just a reminder, we will be out next week.
Okay. Okay.
So we just want to do a little something.
Yes, that's awesome. I love that.
Just, we appreciate everybody.
Yes.
And we just love y'all.
Oh, we love y'all.
And I'll take pictures of it and post it on our Facebook page before I leave today.
Awesome.
You want to do the commercial stuff? I'll do it when we come back.
Prophetic Voice Ministries is located at 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City. Apostle Casey Elliott is a man of God. Gateway Church is located at 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Chasten and Brooklyn Music are the pastors and would love for anyone to come just as you are and join them for any of their worship services. Follow them on Facebook at Gateway Church eCity or on YouTube at Welcome to Gateway Church in Elk City, Oklahoma. Their service times are Monday morning worship at 10:30, Spanish service at 2 p.m., Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Wednesday night, they have Bible engagement starting at 6:30 and Bible study at 7 p.m. If you need more information, you can contact them at 580-225-4646. Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. You can contact him at 580-243-8635.
I'm so glad you're here.
Good job. I know
I'm
she's doing great.
I'm so glad she's here.
She's so good. I love her. I love it. I love it.
Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Whether you've been thinking about sizing down or have some land or home you want to sell, Grants Auction and Realty should be your first choice. Maybe you have an estate that needs to be liquidated. Grants Auction and Realty will get you the best price. Grants Auction is your complete liquidation professional. Grants Auction locks and catalogs every item. They don't charge you more, they just make you more. Grants Auction Realty, 580-225-0269, or find them on the web at www.grantsauction.com.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. We all have guidelines that we live by. These guidelines are protective. They're essential to a truly productive life. They not only give you increase on the outside, they bring you security on the inside. when the guidelines are established is important. You don't want to establish them in the journey, but before you begin, how you start will be an indicator of where you will end.
'Twas just before Christmas in all through Oak City, not a creature was stirring, not even Ray. Cowboy Coy was singing yee-haw as he greeted customers old and new. They came to see his cool hat and all the great vehicles, new and used. Juanelle and her amazing service team were helping customers tune up their car, while Jay in finance was cutting prices and raising the bar. For it was December, and everyone knew that F-150s, Expeditions, and even pre-owned too would all be marked down by thousands after Corbin makes the call. They get to see David dancing and singing. Discount, discount, discount them all.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. Our guest for today is Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Her title for this morning is The Spirit of Jezebel Exposed.
Woohoo!
Weehaw.
Yeah.
Would you be so kind as to share your church, your services, and anything else that you would like to share about your church?
Yes.
I watched you on Facebook. I seen it. Girl.
Isn't God good?
God,
isn't he?
I am waiting for the Lord to say to go visit I do have a wonderful church home.
Yes.
And so,
I'm so glad.
I step out of my home and my feelings and whatnot, because I get feels, you know, I have feels.
Yeah. And so, you're so cute. No.
Before I step out, I wait for the Lord to, and he's told me to go visit some places because I was new and trying to grow, and I just, like 100%. A little kid, I want to see. I want to see all the candies out there. I want to see all the goodness, all the sweetness, you know?
I love it.
But he said, this is your church home.
Yes.
So I've been, you know, Lord, can I go visit? And I haven't got the go yet.
I
wait. So, 100%. But I believe it's coming. I'll get to come and see your new church home.
Yeah, it's so exciting. You know what? I never ever want to take anybody from their church home. They need to stay at their church home. And when the Lord allows you to visit, that's fine. Yeah. So, but yeah, it's been amazing to see what God does. So we are the Refuge Church at New Liberty. We've joined with the New Liberty Church. It's been amazing, phenomenal. God is an on-time God, so good. And so we are, let me think, do you have the address? I think it's 18304. Let's see if I can remember. Okay. Hey, I got it. Okay. Yes. All right. This is not my field. So you girls are doing awesome, but we are the Refuge Church at 18304 East 1140 Road, at Sarah, Oklahoma. And I will say this, if you put it in your, 'cause we're in the country. So if you put it in your, it's different concerning if you have an iPhone or if you have, an Android. But what I have found is if you just put New Liberty, it will often take you straight to it. You don't have to put the address and all that. You can just put New Liberty, and it'll pop up and bring you right to the church. The sign still says the New Liberty Church, and we have joined together, and it's been an awesome time. But I like to always say that our times, well, we are, let's see, we start at, see, I don't even know our times. I always ask our people, what time do we start? Okay. We start Sunday morning. Is it on here? Oh, praise God. See, you really got me going. Okay. Sunday school's at 10. Sunday worship at 10:45. Sunday evening Bible study at 6 o'clock. And Wednesday Bible study at 7 o'clock. And then we have a Merge Youth Group on Wednesday, which is at 7 o'clock. And it's been awesome. But we always say that the Lord told us to say, come where the glory of God changes everything. Mm-hmm. Because we may not be able to do anything, but the glory of God can do it. And it says when we come into his presence, when we encounter his glory, we are transformed from glory to glory. So from glorious encounter to glorious encounter, he transforms us. And so come join us if you don't have a home church. If you have a home church, stay and support the church and grow there and flourish and do the work of God in that place. But if he allows you to come visit us, come visit us. We love you and we'd love to have you. If you don't have a home church, come. Okay. Amen. We ready?
It's all you said.
Okay. I'm going to jump right back in and we'll see where we get.
And we can go over a little bit if you want.
Okay.
It's okay.
All right. Just over a little bit. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let's look at the next one. The next one is this. When you're dealing with the Jezebel spirit, it'll show itself through the individual at the first time when you see them and kind of your first encounters with them, they'll tend to come off as humble, but it's a short-lived thing, okay? You'll often begin to see this change. They'll appear humble, but as you test that fruit, you'll start to see they're not as humble as they put off, okay? And so that spirit often exhibits false humility, okay? And so let's look at Matthew 7:15. We'll do 7:15 through 20. It says here, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, nor can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them." And so it's very important that, number one, we're aware. He said, be aware, okay? I have always been a person, you know, God has just given me just, I don't know, like, you call it Sissy Lala. I don't know. I don't remember what you call it.
I'm a Sissy Lala for the Lord, y'all.
But it's like,
I got a soft heart now instead of a hard stone.
That's what it is. And so for me, I'm often always envision it. The Lord gave me a picture of me like going through a field and it's got all these flowers and I'm just like, and I'm all happy and I don't realize there are snakes all on the ground, okay? And so I'm just carefree and running in the Lord, and I often can just not even, it's like you get taken aback when you realize there are people who are ravening wolves, and I think everybody has the best intentions, but I believe that's good because it says love believes the best, okay? Love believes the best about people. And so I believe that's a good thing. But the Bible says that we're to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. And so while we should be walking in love, the Lord's been raising me up to be more wise as well. Okay. And so, you know, it's sometimes not everybody is walking in the right spirit. And so we just have to be aware of that. Okay. The next one is this. When we're confronted, and I don't have a scripture on this one, and so it's really just through experience. And so as, you know, because I love to back these things up with the Word, okay? So, but I will say this, when confronted with this spirit, a lot of times when you confront that spirit, these individuals will become defensive, okay? The Jezebel spirit doesn't want to be confronted. When she is confronted, she gets angry about it. Okay. And so when you confront these individuals, often they'll justify their actions with phrases like, well, I'm just following God, or God told me to do this. And so that kind of goes into the next one. And so I want to jump right into it and get the scripture with it and kind of describe what I'm talking about. These individuals will often have allege having great spiritual insight into church government and affairs. Okay. So they often will, oh, you know, that this is how you should do this, and this is how you should do that. They always, that spirit is trying to control even the government of the church, okay? They want to rule over everything. And that's how you see it even in just everyday life, you know? Not every domineering person has a Jezebel spirit, but Jezebel will be domineering, okay? So often they'll allege to having great spiritual insight into church government and affairs, but they will not appeal to proper authority. Okay. Mm. That is a key right there. They do not appeal to proper authority. Rather, they first appeal to others. Okay. And often you'll see their opinions become the last word on matters. Thereby they elevate their thoughts above the pastor's thoughts. Okay. So this spirit will not go in the order of what God has put in his word. Okay. They don't see themselves as having to do that. And they often, like we said, elevate their word above the pastor's. Okay. So a lot of times they won't follow the house. Listen, I have learned this. When you go into, and it took me some time to learn this because I didn't understand this. A lot of times, I'm trying to think how to say this. there are some churches you go into where this is not seen at all. They pretty much have a pastor, and then that's the one office that is held in the body, okay? And so a lot of times there's not, you don't see the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. But when you get into circles where they have the fivefold in the body, then I begin to understand and see, I begin to see this at work. And what I'm saying is this: I did not understand a lot of times that there was a proper order in how things went. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so as I've grown, I've saw this, and I can see this often in the body. The Jezebel spirit will not submit to any authority. Okay. She does not submit to authority. She'll say she's submissive. She'll say that she's humble. She'll say that she'll line up with you, but she won't. She'll actually go above what you say. And what I learned was, often when you go into a house of worship, there's some order in that house. The leaders of the house are set in there by God to watch over the flock of God. And so they have to do what they feel like the Lord has led them to do through the word of God. And there is order in that house. But what you'll find is the Jezebel spirit will not abide by that order set in that house. So you can even tell them. I've seen this, Monica. Literally, we can tell someone if they're coming in, and we kind of, show them the way that we feel like God has us to operate. And they'll say, okay, yeah. And then you'll catch them off to the side doing things outside. Mm-hmm. Okay, because I'll tell you this, Jezebel loves to get off in the corner. She'll take people off in the corner, and she'll work her stuff off away from other people. And I want to look at this, and then we're going to use one more and we'll close. And maybe the next time I can come, I can bring the next set of characteristics. But let's look at the scripture, Hebrews 13:17. Hebrews 13:17 kind of shows us this here. Hebrews 13:17 says this: obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And so a lot of times I hear with this spirit, a lot of times they buck at this passage. They don't even want to talk about this passage, okay? Because then they start saying, oh, well, now you're getting religious, and you're, and they start crying that we're being controlling and all of this, when actually the word says that, see, we as pastors, we are responsible before God to watch over the flock. And that's why you can't just let anybody come in and just have their way and do whatever. So a lot of times when people want to come in and do that, and then they get all offended because you don't let them just have their way, they said, well, they're controlling over there. No, that's not it at all. In fact, a pastor's not doing his job if he doesn't watch out for the flock and guard what is coming in and what's going out, because we know ravening wolves are coming in. So I want to say this. A lot of times when I'm saying they will not, number one, they won't follow the order of the house. Number two, when they're confronted, like, hey, we've had people who will come in, and then we say, okay, hey, in fact, let me look at it, and then we'll close with this. 1 Corinthians 14 is where it's at. I want to show you this, and it'll kind of wrap up what I'm trying to get across here. 1 Corinthians 14:29. First Corinthians 14:29 says, let the prophets, and we're talking about the house of God, when you are in church and the house is, you're having your service, let the prophets speak two or three, and let the other judge, okay? If anything be revealed to another that sets by, let the first hold his peace. For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. So let me say this. Here's what I've seen so much with the prophetic in this hour, is that much prophecy is going forth, but not much judgment of prophecy is going forth.
Come
Okay? And that is where we get into trouble. Okay? We're trying to seek the Lord on how to operate in this at the refuge and do it in a way that does not stifle the spirit, but also keeps the sheep protected, okay? Because we do know false prophets are coming in, but this is what I've seen. The Jezebel spirit will not want to have the prophecy, any of what she speaks, judged. She views her word as from God, and she doesn't need anybody to judge that. She views herself as a prophet from the Lord, and everybody else needs to hear it. And if they don't hear it, then they're going to be judged by God for not receiving her word. This is what I'm seeing. Okay? It's dangerous. We should never get into a place where we declare that our word was straight from God, and if a person doesn't receive it, that they're going to be judged by God for it. That is not what the word of God teaches. Anybody who tells you that, you need to go ahead and move away from that person. Okay? That's dangerous. We are not in Old Testament prophecy. Did you just hear what the word said in 1 Corinthians 14? It tells us that let us all prophesy. Every one of us. He said he wants us all to prophesy because the prophecy actually encourages and builds up the body. But if our prophecy is not being judged, we're in a dangerous position. We should have people. There should be a leader in the house who is able to judge the prophetic word that goes forth. There should be leaders in the house who can judge that word. And so this is the way we're trying to teach our body to do it. If you get a word from the Lord, then you need to have one of the leaders of the house go with you to give that word in the house, okay? If you're in church, you know, because a lot of times at the end of our service, we're ministering, okay? And I'm busy ministering. But if somebody in the body has a word, then they are to go to one of the leaders of the house, and they know who those leaders are, and they can go and they say, hey, I feel like I've got this word for so-and-so. And then that leader goes with them. They release the word, and that leader is judging the word. And no one needs to take it personally. I want my words to be judged. Okay, I'm not looking to give a wrong word to a person because it can damage that person. Okay, number one. But number two, I don't want that person. I don't want them to even be taught to think that just every word that comes to me is that it's okay that people just out of the blue show up and just start giving me words and I should just receive them. And if I don't receive them, then I'm going to be judged because this is the prophet of the Lord. That is not how prophecy works in the New Testament. It needs to have someone who's been walking in that judge it. And we shouldn't be offended by that. I'm not offended by it. And so I want to encourage you in the body of Christ to be wary of people who just come around constantly just giving words. Okay, all the time just giving words, and they've always got a word from the Lord for you, and no one is judging that word. Okay, your spirit should also be able to judge it. There are words that come to me that my spirit does not receive. It's like, no, that's not from God. Okay, I just take that thing and cast it to the side. But some words I know immediately. They bear witness in my spirit, and I know it. I go, okay, that's from God. They're really a confirmation. And then the other type of word, it doesn't necessarily bear witness with me, but it doesn't go against God's word. So I put it on the shelf for a later time. It's like, God, maybe down the road. Because some prophecies are for the future, and they're not going to take place till down the road. So I don't cast it off as not true, but I put it to the shelf, okay? However, I want to encourage you, if you have words, because if God gives you words of prophecy, you know what? Call one of your leaders up and say, hey, you know what? If you're at home, this is what we're trying to grow in, that we call another brother or sister and say, hey, you know what? This is the word I'm hearing for so-and-so. I just want to run it by you. Does this bear witness with you? It just safeguards me and the person I'm about to release this to. There's wisdom in that. And so here's what I've also learned. A lot of times someone will get a word of prophecy, and so because they've not walked in it much, they just need to be helped to maybe develop in that a little bit. There's a way to release it. See, sometimes you might get a word of warning for someone, but you don't run off and just give it, because you know what it'll do? It induces fear. And the spirit of fear is not from God. And so there are things that we need to grow and learn in this area. And I believe in this hour we're seeing a influx, or I don't know, they're not an influx, but a, I don't know what you want to call it. It's just an outpouring of the prophetic, okay? So much so, but it has gone and it's been going around without any checks and balances, and it's become dangerous. And then what that does is it allows Jezebel to get in there, and she can have her way, and she begins to shut down the true prophetic voice, and so she can only have her voice heard, and she brings a false teaching. She brings perversion. She brings corruption, and she tears down the body of Christ. And so in this hour, as I wrap up here, I just want us to be careful to always know that we need to have authority in our life. I have authority over my life. I may be pastoring, but I have men and women of God who are still over ahead of me, okay? Well, our body, our church is not under like a mainstream denomination where, you know, you have a board that's high up or whatnot, but we set a board in place for that very thing. People who are above that would, that we know are strong men and women of God who would come in and say, this doesn't line up. This don't feel right. They have the ability to still speak in our lives. And so if we ever get to a place where our word is final, we're in a dangerous position. Okay. I don't care if we think we're hearing from God. Our word is not final. There is wisdom in having counselors who you can go with and say, Hey, this is what I'm hearing. This is what I'm feeling. And if they say, I don't know, we pull back for a minute to really seek God and dig a little deeper. Okay. So there's just wisdom in this. And in this hour, Jezebel will not submit to authority. She may appear for a season to submit to it, but she won't really. She'll go beyond what you've said as a kind of order in the house, and she'll go beyond that. And then she'll justify why she did it. Well, God told me to do this. Well, but God has set us in the house to lead this body, and we need you to submit to that so that we're not seeing the body hurt. And a lot of times she'll rise up against that and go against it. Okay. So I hope that brings a little more clarity to the spirit of Jezebel. And next time I come, like I said, we'll get into deeper sides of this. And man, it is just mind blowing. And it's just helped me to see so clearly that spirit operating in this hour. And it'll help the body be protected, and it'll help us to grow. And the prophetic has got to be protected. It really does. Because in the last days, he said that the spirit of prophecy is going to go forward. And so it's got to be released, but it's got to be released in a way that is protecting the body of Christ and not allowing Jezebel to come in and shut off the prophets. Okay. And so next time I come, I'll release the other. And then also hopefully we'll have some stories to maybe show an example of how this happens. Okay. And that's what we got. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's always a blessing. You always bring good food to this table. You God. Feed us well, Pastor Tammy Powerhouse Bailey.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. And I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and from the gorgeous Pastor Powerhouse, Tammy Bailey, y'all have a blessed Monday, and we'll see you tomorrow.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.